growth through client referrals is a couple of really important things. And it's really important to business. We're servicing professionals, right? So usually growth through referrals means that we are delivering value in a way that somebody is willing to advocate for us. So it's a really important piece of our business. Not only that, but when you look at the studies, majority of growth across the industry, it's at least 56, I think it's like differing data, but the studies that I said is it's somewhere around 55% of all growth comes through client referrals. And I'm pretty sure DFA was close to 70, wasn't it?
I actually just looked at these numbers. So most of y'all know I used to work at Dimensional Fund Advisors, and we ran one of the largest benchmarking studies in the industry. And in 2022, 40% of new clients came from referrals and about 15 from COIs from referrals. So referrals in general.
Referrals are really big. So it's a level of like value being delivered is being received to the point that they're willing to advocate about it. It's going to be a really important core piece, industry statistic showing of your growth strategy. And it enhances resources and momentum to better serve clients. So with client referrals and serving clients, then we get the means to continue to serve. Next slide. We're going. Technical.
Oh goodness. Do not look. We've gone way too far.
We talked a little bit about those limiting beliefs and we're going to come back around to them.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. So here's some of that data that we were talking about.
Yeah. So the one that I thought was really interesting on here is the last one, the 400% likelihood of someone becoming a client after being referred by a friend. And one way I kind of think about this and break it down is I have two dogs that are, you know, the love of my lives. Don't tell my fiance, but he is too, but you know, and when I go out of town, we have to find dog sitters and it is incredibly stressful. And I would get, you know, if someone referred me to a pet sitter who's already been vouched for, I'm obviously going with that over a Rover. Same kind of concept, you know, that referral already has that trust equity already built into it.
Yeah. What I find interesting is the fact that on average, you have somewhere between 50 to 70% of referrals for, or new clients coming through client referrals in business. Yet only 11% are asking. And yet there's such a warm lead that it's 400% chance that they're becoming a client. Like that math says this should be a strategy we have in our business. In a very, very clear way. And I'll talk about it a little bit later, but that 400%, like that can shift your prospect process, right? When I have a client referral that comes through our door, and I know those things, maybe it's not a three meeting. I know it's already two, like it's not a matter of them having to learn more. They're not information gathering as much as the other person. They're like, no, I'm ready. I'm in that buy now phase. So I just need to uncover those pain points and hit upon those.
Okay, so we talked about some of limiting beliefs around referrals. I think they really just in general can be really intimidating, really scary. We hear a lot of them. Y'all mentioned you can seem needy, desperate.
Fear of rejection.
Yep.
Worried about jeopardizing that relationship. I mean, like, you know, by asking means that you're somehow unveiling something. They'll put that in jeopardy. Those are all things that I've heard along the way. When you guys look at that list, do you feel any of these limiting beliefs? All right. Well, the first step is before you even go into asking, you have to cure these things, right? We need to start with mindset. It's really, really important to be confident in your story and how you're asking. So the cures to limiting beliefs and starting with mindset, would you believe it? There are some resources that Limitless has. about working and starting there. It's a really important pause point before you go into asking for referrals that we get our mind and bodies and grounding right. Because it's important that you are able to really trust the value that you're delivering and that you're asking that from a client. And if there's any sort of doubt in that, or that it could show up in that client referral, it's going to be messy, or you just won't do it. So you'll continue to not have that as a core strategy, or you'll continue to have it as a very organic, hopeful one.
Yeah, and I think Julie in the last session mentioned reframing it from a referral to an introduction, just like changing that in your mind already is like, oh, okay, like I can do an introduction, you know? So.
Okay. And I didn't see, you don't have to go back to the slide, but it says prospecting isn't personal. And that is something that is so incredibly important when you're thinking about it. It's not meant to be personal to you. It doesn't mean anything about you because guess what? It's not about you. It's about them, right? And it's about the opportunity to get in front of more people that you're on a mission to serve. So that's a big thing. Like those limiting beliefs are really around us. And that core statement of prospecting isn't personal was really vital to me. And to be able to just get out there and be like, it's not about me. It's about them. Like, here we go. So the shift, passive to active, this is a really important client referral journey in how you build a process or see where you're at and see where you want to go. So where we see most and where we start is this very passive, hopeful-based client referral strategy, which is we deliver the value and they will come. And this is we provide that great experience. Now it's really important actually that this is in place. Like we need to deliver in order to ask for more to come. So if, you know, client service model, being able to consistently serve and all of those things are really important, but this, and we'll have some wins along the way, right? Organically serving, there's going to be people who naturally are just like, man, they're doing what I really came for. And that makes me feel good. And I'm going to share that. But it doesn't mean it's predictable. It doesn't mean it's a line that you can just really count on as a business. It's just one of those things that you hope occasionally happens and you hope that your clients do. And that's a hope-based strategy. And so you have to just be very clear if that's your client referral strategy. And then you have to be very clear on the fact that you don't know if your goals are to bring on 20 new clients for the year, you can't count on that strategy, right? Like, just it is what it is. Then there's that passive plus, which is we deliver that value and we're going to let you know that we're like open to growing. Like maybe it's in our signature of our email. That's like a little statement around it. Maybe it's asking clients for, to follow you on social media. So like, that's a level of like, hey, if you follow me, cause there's going to be content there, it's engaging in a little bit of a different way. And in general communication, right. Could be like, something that goes out in email. And if there's somebody important to you, like we're here, and net promoter score, you heard Julie talk about it. Not necessarily like her most favorite approach, but just simply a once a year survey that says, on a scale from 1 to 10, would you be willing to serve to advocate for us or make an introduction for us? Just asking that to them means like, oh, like they have an idea that we're open to it. But none of that is a very direct way or a direct campaign of like, we're here, we're ready. And for anyone important to you, like we're here for them. It's just more like, I don't know about you guys, but have you ever had the question from a client, like, are you taking on new clients? Right. We still get that sometimes. And I'm like, yes, like they don't know we're open for business. Like they just, or there's something around it where they don't know that we're taking on new clients. And that's where you want to, like, that's kind of that passive plus, like, how do you move into that more active and intentional, client referrals campaign or strategy?
Yeah. The other thing I was going to mention is, you know, when clients see you or come to your office or virtually and they ask how you're doing, I feel like it's normal for us to be like, good, but I'm busy, you know? And so by saying that, you know, they don't know you have capacity to grow.
Yeah. We don't use the word I'm busy as a team. Like that's a really important, like, it's great. Like, you know, we've been in such service or, oh my gosh, this just happened and we're so glad. And yeah.
Yeah. One of the virtual members I was just chatting with said, saying, you know, well, I'm doing really great. I love working, you know, with people like you, like it's a good way to, you know, insert that casual referral ask.
Yeah. And that's where you're starting to get more direct, like in those opportunities with the clients, are you asking for that referral? So now you're shifting into that, like, I have that core message of what I'm going to do to ask them for that referral. Hey, like Bob and Jane, didn't know if you know this, but I'm really passionate about serving you know, women dealing with the loss of a spouse. And if there's anyone in your world who you know that is worth there, like, we have a really great ability to just be there as a resource. And if you think of anyone, just know that we're here. By the way, if you don't have a niche, like, I know that sounds niche-y, but before, when I was in a more generalist firm, I would say that in one meeting, and in another, when I'm working with like an aerospace and defense engineer, I'm like, hey, I don't know if you know this, but we are really passionate about serving, you know, those that are at Lockheed and all of those things. We do a ton of work there and really understand their pensions plans differently than anyone else. If there happens to be somebody else at work that you feel like we could be a resource to, don't hesitate in giving them our contact information. Oh, like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's who I'm in front of, right? Because brains on like just like you is actually pretty hard to be like, who's just like me? And when I've run a lot of client advisory boards, when I've asked them why or why not they refer, a lot of it is like, they feel like they have to qualify. Like, I don't know how much money they have in their account. And you're like, whoa, like, that's not for you to qualify. That's for us to like, see how we can best be in service. So it really just got into like, hey, when it ever comes to anybody in your world who has a question or with the dollar sign and we can be of service, just send them in our direction. We'll make sure that they're really taken care of. And what I learned over time, and this will be part of the client referral process, is that in order to feel confident there, I needed to have the resource to send them to the places that we were not best fit. And that really allowed that to be like, you can send anyone our way and we'll get them taken care of. And I didn't have to take that on. And then there's obviously finesse in how you ensure that nobody feels like rejected in that conversation, that you're truly just the place where they start and allow that to exist. But testimonials are a really great place for active light, right? We can start utilizing those now, get clients involved, their willingness to put out, how they feel about you. Second opinions, that's been around forever. But hey, if there's anyone that you're talking to, and then we can give a second opinion, we would love to do that. Second opinions are a great thing to put out there if you're running webinars or other events, or anything along those lines. And then super intentional, which is where we're all hoping to get to, especially because the numbers say that a majority of our business is going to come through client referrals, and that when you get them, it's a 400% chance more likely to turn them as clients, is why we want to get to this intentional place. Having a very clear client referral process, how are you going to work through that? Making sure you have the thank yous in place. Like, when somebody refers you and steps over that line, it's really, really important when they open that door to acknowledge it, because it's a big door. When people, it's not like they're referring somebody to the ice cream shop down the line. Like, it's somebody who's referring somebody and they're putting their entire life in your hands. So it's a very, very important thing to do to ensure that you have a thank you campaign for both COIs and client referrals.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think a lot of times we spend so much effort on the referral campaign up to getting the referral and not enough time on the thank you. And that's just as important. I always say, like, no one wants another fruit basket. So think about like how you can really target your thank yous to your ideal target client or COIs, and be really diligent. It should be an automatic process. Like, I got a referral, boom, they get this kind of thing.
Yeah. I think my first sentence to most clients is like, we are so grateful for the trust that you place in us. Like, thank you for referring somebody important to you. We'll be sure that they're really well taken care of. And that just in the email, and that's either visible to the actual introduction that's being made, or if it isn't, and they're just handing out our information. Like, that's one of my key lines. We are grateful and your chosen trusted professional, like, reiterate. And then we are happy and to be in service of anybody important to you. And then of course, like, if there's additional pieces past there, I have had hangups in the past where people feel like, they can't share too much, or they feel like a thank you is weird because, like, it's like, I can't say if they became clients because that's like client confidentiality or something like that. You can determine where your line is on that, but it doesn't like, there's still levels of thank yous that have to exist. Like, the other client isn't looking to know that, like, you've done all of this work for them and all of those things. Now, COIs, there may be COIs that want to know aspects of that, and we can work in that from professional letters and agreements and other things. But clients, it's just a matter of, are they taken care of? Like, that's a personal relationship in my world that I'm not looking for friction. So I need to know that you guys did what you said you were going to do. And then other really great ways to be very intentional through client interviews, client advisory boards. Those are great ways to get advocacy and really create referral sources. And then you really start investing those marketing dollars. So maybe on the early side, it's just time through the services that we're delivering. And now we actually have a budget towards, like, how are we creating client referrals and in the client experience, right? Is it through appreciation events? Is it through dinners? Is it through creating these boards?
Yeah. One other thing I was going to mention, when I was at Dimensional, we ran the largest client study in the industry. And so we had over 17,000 participants in 2022. And we asked the question, have you referred your advisor in the past year? And if they said no, we asked, well, why not? The number one reason was, I don't know how to make a referral. And so having that education piece be in place of, like, well, if you want to make a referral, you know, or if you have anyone that's willing, you know, you think would be a good fit with me, please introduce them to me via email or what, you know, the three of us can go grab coffee or if you're comfortable. So just making sure they know how to even make a referral.
Yeah, that's why I have loved client advisory boards, by the way. For some, it's a matter of starting at client interviews to get really comfortable with this concept, but client advisory boards are 8 of your best clients or your high value clients. You're bringing them together. We did it over a series of 3 meetings, which I can talk to you later on, like, why it's not a lifetime commitment, where the series comes in and all of that fun stuff. But essentially what it is educating them on who we are, what we do, and how we do it through feedback. Like asking them questions about how they feel about their experience, but we have to describe it to them in a way that's like, here's what we're doing and why. How are you perceiving that? How does that show up for value in you? And then they're explaining to you in those moments the value that we're receiving or the disconnect, which you would want to solve, because then they're not an advocate because there's a disconnect, right? So you're equipping them through feedback on how to make those introductions. And it's really, really powerful. Another way and another really great campaign is asking them where they gather advice or get their information, or who are 2 most important people in their life that they count on when it comes to big decisions. Hopefully you're one of them, by the way, but if you're not, like, don't take too much offense. If there's an opportunity to be introduced to one of them, it's a really great way to be like, wow, they sound like a really amazing person. I would love the opportunity to meet that person. And it's a really great way to get them, where you're just narrowing that down for them, right? 2 people important to you, like people that you trust the advice that is coming from, those types of things. Could be a really great way for COIs, or it's a way for you to understand who else is coming into their world when it comes to decision-making, and how can you start incorporating that and possibly getting an introduction.
Yeah, another idea, and this probably falls in the active light camp. So hopefully I don't get in trouble for suggesting an active light.
More intentional. This is a journey.
Yes. You know, when you are rebranding your website, or maybe you're thinking of it rebranding, or you just want feedback on it, asking those clients who you're trying to target, you know, what parts of my website resonate with you? And so that way you can also, you know, kind of put the seed in their head, like, I'm trying to attract more people like you. Does my website, you know, resonate with you? So you can kind of do that approach.
Good on this. Yeah. Okay.
And we'll have time for Q&A.
We will.
Okay. So you're probably all wondering, and I don't know what happened again, but what makes a good referral process? The $1 million question.
And it's actually pretty simple. Like, there's a matter of having, like, the clear thank you process or those types of things. But what makes a good referral program or process is knowing how to ask. It's really, truly working through how you're going to ask, because you may be asking through your website. You may be asking through directly to clients. Like, you may be asking, but learning how to ask for that referral is your most important piece, which I think is the next slide that you guys can't see.
I actually think we might have an activity. Okay. So what we're all going to do now is...
Did I skip a slide?
No, it comes in a minute.
Okay.
Okay. So virtual people, you're going to do this as well. We're going to take a few minutes and you're just going to jot down, it can be up to 10, don't have to be, of your best, most favorite clients. So I call it the phone call test. When that name comes on your caller ID and you're like, oh, I can't wait to talk to Bob, that's your ideal client. If Bob comes across and you're like, oh God, not Bob again, leave them off the list. So everyone take a minute or two and just jot down some of your favorite clients, your ideal clients. And if you don't have 10, it's totally okay. I do think there's an animation I'm supposed to do. Oh, there we go.
Oh, I love it. How's everybody doing? Good. Got some names?
If you don't have any, well.
Coaching one-on-one with Lauren. And that's where we're going to start.
Okay. Are we good? Y'all need a little bit more time? Are we good? Okay. Next. Then you're going to go down your list and you can just, I don't know, put an X next to each name, put an X for who has referred you once, if you know. Maybe put a zero for who has never referred, and then two X's for who has referred you more than one time. Does that make sense?
So you're looking for your advocates or your advocates. You're looking for the ones that have opened the door, and you're looking for the ones that haven't opened the door yet. That's a very positive spin on that. I like to be optimistic, but there could be reasons they haven't opened the door yet. So we don't just assume that they're non-referring people. Like there's some work to do there before they go in that camp. I've done it both ways. When I'm looking to, sometimes the last year, it depends on like how active your strategy has been. So I'm like, if you're living in the passive like camp, I would say over a longer period of time. If you've been more intentional or feel like you've been more intentional about it, then you can do the last year to take stock. So once you review that list and you now are, you have who you're looking to replicate, you now have taken stock of all of your clients on who's referred, who hasn't referred yet, and who has referred multiple times, you're going to start creating campaigns around it. If they referred multiple times, that's a good place to start to just get intentional, right? Those client interviews, go take them for coffee and have a conversation with them. There's different ways in which you can approach that. There's tons of limitless materials on that, by the way, the questions, how you go about that. Those are really good ones to practice a direct ask with. They've already made the referrals multiple times. And so they tend to be really good on, they're already fans of you and most likely are still orbiting and willing to go out there and continue to advocate. So, continue there. For those that have done it once, but haven't done it again. Those are clients in which you can take a handful of those for client interviews. But those may be ones where you just need to continue to make it more obvious that you are. You may need to take stock on who did they refer and how did that go and where is that relationship at, right? So you want to understand, it was there any roadblocks or hiccups as to why they haven't referred again, or possibly understand that it was just like one of those things where it was happen chance. That tends to be like the one where it's like, I'm willing to refer you if it comes up in conversation versus being the one that goes out and brings it to conversation. So you're looking to see if there can be a shift there instead of them waiting to be the ones where it comes up. Can you give them something where it now works in a way that they are like, that person, I need to connect you. And so those are what you're looking for in those. So the campaigns around that could be the ways in which you're planting the seed in client meetings on that ask with them, is just getting more clear on how they can go about it. If you're looking for to understand why or how they refer, like those are those good client advisory board questions or research that you can do, is like, is it just when, you know, somebody is asking you about it and that's the moment when you're thinking of us, or is it that you just don't know how to put us out there and we can educate them on that? And for those that have never, again, you're getting into, have they never, because they're just not that type of person. Like they're not out there looking to refer anybody. It worries them to do it, right? Like they just, there's pressure and I don't want somebody to have a bad experience and I won't put my relationship on the line. There are those people, and that's okay. But how do you define those versus the ones that haven't, and it's just more around, they haven't been asked. They didn't know you were open for business beyond serving who you currently have and those types of things. And that's just like starting with campaigns and marketing and those types of things.
Corey, you have a question?
Are you doing campaigns all within the mindset of narrowing down to your niche?
Yes. Are you doing these campaigns at all with the mindset of narrowing down to your niche?
Yes. So if you have a niche defined, I would certainly, if you're going to ask for a referral and you have a niche defined, then you should work towards who you're looking to work with, right? That's why we're starting with our ideal client. So you can take that into account for your campaigns of like, are there clients already orbiting in the area of where your ideal clients exist? And that's who you want to focus on first. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, so if we're in that generalist type of practice,
sure.
You might not have that many defined, and so you still just, your campaign could be very small.
It could be, but if you're in a generalist practice, you still can actually get client referrals. Like, because are there client advocates that are already out there referring you? So starting with them on like client interviews or something along those lines could be a really great place to start, where you're like, they're already referring you. So how do you continue to get that to a more like predictable place and doing and nurturing them as a referral source? And you don't necessarily have to niche down. If you're going towards a niche though, then you want to start educating them on the direction that you're going, right? So that they don't continue to bring in the wrong, like serve you with the clients that you don't do your best work with. And, or as I said, open the door where like you're there to be in service of anybody that has a question mark regarding a dollar sign, but you may not be the ones that end up serving them.
So I have a client who has referred to me multiple times and has asked, do you accept new clients? Da, da, da. And he's actually an ideal client. So my question is, and I need to raise his fees by a lot, like double, from like 15,000. He's already paying a lot. But I need to double, it's like 25 to 30,000. And I'm thinking, should I launch the referral campaign before I double the fees, or or should I wait and see if he hopefully stays, and then, you know, if he stays, then go for it, or what's your take?
That's a great question. I mean, my first instinct is he clearly values you, you know, because he has referred you multiple times. So I don't know, what's your gut?
So Mine is, if there's ever sort of a change or transition that can impact them, we're going to solve that first, and then we're going to move forward. And the reason being is because they're a referral source, that means they're connected to those clients. So if they have that bad experience, that's also going to go to those clients. So try not to exacerbate that. It would just be like, I want to make sure that this is all good before I continue to ask for those referrals. And the fact that you're, those would be things that I would be conscious about. But anytime there's any sort of service model change or something along those lines, there is a moment or a pause for us where we ensure that it's landing in a way that they feel really good about. And then those referral campaigns can come back on.
So another question is, sorry, I'm blanking. Sometimes when clients refer to me, I'm like, oh my God, they're referring to me because they're afraid I'm going to raise their fees. And so instead of like me raising their fees, they're like, no, here's some prospects, new clients, just, you know, leave our fees, because they know eventually my fees are going to increase a lot just because of the niche I'm focusing on, founders, and they have, you know, a huge exit. So their fees increase significantly. Is that a limiting mindset that I have?
I was asking, do you have any proof that this is reality?
No. Yeah. So is that the answer then? It's a limiting mindset.
Yeah, I don't think that clients that was probably a first for in the things that I've heard, that I don't think clients would ever take into account that they're just trying to get you new business, not to have their fees raised. I think they would only refer to you if they valued what you did.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I was thinking too, I think Tiff is spot on about raising the fee first and then seeking the referrals, because, you know, what if this ideal client is like, oh, you have to go work with Danielle because she'll only charge you 15K, you know, and then that prospect comes to you and you're like, actually it's 30K, you know? Yeah. So.
Yeah. And we as a firm have gone through major transition. So we're a second generation firm, and our first generation was a lifestyle practice with very much a founding advisor at the core of all of the relationships, and everybody else was there to essentially serve him so he could serve the clients. Right. And then our clients, we, as a second generation, took it, we formed client servicing teams. We made sure that any client that comes to us, that their financial plan is enduring and it's not dependent upon one person showing up to work every day and all of those different things. Cause we feel like those are really big misses. And it's really important for what we do, that the work that they do with us isn't dependent upon somebody showing up to work every day. It's really built into the practice. But those were a really big change. He was with them for 20 years and he had the relationship, and a lot of it's in his brain and not in a CRM and a system and all of those things. And so there was a period of time where our client referral strategy wasn't going to be in a place where we had the trust and relationship equity to get the advocacy. So those were things that we knew that we had to work on. So like thinking about that organic process or major changes to the firm is a really good point in thinking about your client referral strategy, because it has to, the relationship and trust equity has to be there. They have to be receiving the value that you intended to deliver. And then after that, the only miss is not asking, because they're going to do it or they never will. But even if they never will, they're not offended by you asking because they value what you do. So those are really important things. It took us, it was about a year and a half before we knew like that's such a big relationship change from the advisor to the team and the way that we've expanded, that this strategy wasn't going to be as intense. It was more focused on like, we have to build up that trust so that we can get back to the advocacy that we're looking for. So if anyone's in any major transition or you're shifting their experience in a really big way, it's really important to make sure that's good before you go for an ask.
Can you talk a little bit about qualified referrals versus, oh, hey, I know this person and they really could use your help and I really want them to get help, but they're really not an ideal client. I've worked a lot about saying no to leads. I have not figured out how to say no to a referral that I really shouldn't take, but because of loyalty and obligation to my client, I kind of do. And I need to figure out either how to train them better or what I do with that client that doesn't upset them that sent me someone.
Yeah, that's the interesting dynamic in client referrals versus COIs, right? The COIs, you can be a lot more clear and direct. And not only that, but they tend to have more information that you can utilize for qualifying on both ways. With client referrals, what I have gotten into is it's an education around like, hey, we are an incredible place for you to send anyone who has any financial planning needs. And we will be that first phone call to really uncover and see how they can best be served and add value to their life. Now that may or may not be our firm. We've created a lot of relationships to ensure that like where their needs are, that they are met through those resources. And that helps because it's not about us having to serve them. Like that's not the end goal. And it is about like, is it a place that can send that I know that whoever it is will get what they're coming for, which is the financial planning need, right? And that has become a really great conversation. It took me a little while to get there, by the way, to like not be the one, to be the one that'll take any initial call, but not be the one to be in service. And there was definitely some misses on my scripting where people felt rejected versus it feeling like a really, really good experience. And that was really hard because there's a referral source on the line on top of the fact that like, that was never the intention. Really good scripts in Limitless, by the way, about like, you know, so glad that this client referred you and you totally have these needs. And after, you know, we don't have the breadths and depths of which we offer, by the way, if you niche, it's killer in this, right? Like we really focus in on working with operating entrepreneurs who have a business at the core of their wealth management. And, you know, they're like a child, you know, like they're getting their first paycheck and they're curious on their 401k. So it's a very, like, if you have a niche, that's a very easy script to be like, but here, let me introduce you, or let me send you to Garrett Planning, you know, whatever it is that they're going to in order to get that help, like start with Betterment, like here's a lender or here's a CPA, right? Like you can get enough to get them into the next place. So my job in that too, especially with clients, is to honor the fact that they're making that referral and give a little bit of time to creating value without taking on like non-ideal clients. And the way that I feel like I got the most permission to not take on non-ideal clients is to have the resource in which I'm moving them to. So whether that's vetting a couple other advisors, there's many advisors in our industry that are really great advisors that are up and coming and building their client book and do really great work for the right fees for what those clients' needs are. And I feel really, really great about making that introduction and getting them to the right place for the right fee. And they appreciate it too.
How did you go about finding those people, I guess? Because that's one thing we run into is we don't know where to send people. So,
yeah, it started in Colorado is where I'm at. And so asking other advisors that we network with or something like, hey, like we're getting like a really great stream of new opportunities and some of them aren't meeting the ideal clients that we serve. Do you guys know of any advisors that you really like trust and love the work that they're doing that are starting out that could be a really great place to send these? And usually it would be 3 to 4 names. And I do a Zoom and some vetting, and then I'll send a couple and see how that experience goes on both sides to follow up. And it's great until their practices start growing. And then you have to, so I feel like every 2 years we're looking for those newer or like those advisors that are in service, or maybe they're running a subscription or a one-time plan or whatever it is that they're looking for. And you would be surprised how often other, like, I feel like mortgage lenders and CPAs are like huge pain points that come in on those conversations. And sometimes it's not another advisor. It's just starting them in those places. Not to say they don't have those components, and I would love to solve that for them, but I'm just trying to solve the pain point that's in front of me at that time period.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I think I know about 200 really great advisors that would probably be willing to help you out. I think was it you, Danielle, that posted in Good Vibe Tribe and was like, I have someone who's, you know, specializes in real estate agents and found him or her a Limitless advisor, you know? So
yeah, the Limitless community is huge on like, I have this type of who can help. There's going to be someone somewhere.
Leona, do you have a question?
We have a question from Kevin Nelson online. He said, what are some of your favorite gifts to give to clients who refer? And if they refer multiple people, do you give multiple gifts?
I would, yes. One of the advisors I used to work with, every time he got a referral, he would send them one Tiffany's wine glass. And they would be like, well, why one? And the point is, the more referrals you build out that wine glass set. I talked to Melissa, I think it was Melissa last week. She's using this website. I want to say it's called Goodies. And the client actually gets to select what they want. There's like three different options. So that way it can be, you know, more personalized to them.
So depending on the referrals, but like if you have a women focus, there's this company called like Threads Worldwide, which helps like women from like different communities and like their crafters, or artisans, create this jewelry, and it pays them full wage on top of the fact that goes to other women. And so we love that. And women love that. It comes with the artisan story and all of those things. And they can pick out, like, there's different things like jewelry and some bags and some blankets and stuff, but like that's a really like impact on impact thank you gift, and that's been really well received. One thing that I love, if you can create it or have it, is a photographer that'll go and do a family photo of them, and then you get them a frame and you put it up there, because it is like the like gift that just keeps giving, because they will always remember that you went to do it. Nobody ever gets in like family photos nearly enough, because it's just kind of hard to schedule or do all that. Super cool client event, by the way. Get a photographer out there and get it, and then have your clients come through, and like, you're always top of mind. Or what about when they throw parties and people are like, I love that photo. And you're like, oh my gosh, my advisor did this. So it's a kind of like that less intentional way to think about it. But I've always loved the photo or something that is out there that they'll consistently see, that creates more conversation.
I was going to say, I have a few advisors who do, their holiday parties. They hire a photographer to do the holiday card for the family, because there is nothing more annoying than scheduling your holiday photo shoot. And then they, you know, send you the image, and it's also a great way to get the next generation in front of you. And so really fun idea.
And if they're working, depending on where you're at, but like getting something that they have to share with others, like, so if it melts or gets sticky or doesn't stay, super great. So send it to the office with a note that's like, thank you so much, we appreciate you so much. And make it so that they have to share it with their coworkers or other people around them. Because they're like, oh my gosh, who sent that to you? And they're like, they gave it to me. And like, encourage them to be like, this is for you and your coworkers. Hope it's a really great day. And we're just so grateful that you think about us when it's important people to you, but they have to tell people where it came from. And so it's a really great thing. So I've known others that have done like ice cream and other things that it's like, if there's a timely matter to this going really, really well. And if you know that they're going to be at the office, it's a good way to do it.
Yeah. I think really the key is just to know your clients and know, or your ideal target client. You know, I've seen some advisors even in a field in their CRM of like things the client likes. So like, say they love houseplants, you know, boom, going to go send them a houseplant.
Mm-hmm. Holiday wreaths at Christmas time are the best. They last forever too.
So you mentioned client appreciation events. Do you find large events or more smaller events with less people, say 15, 20, broken up across the book as you do those? What do you find being the most successful?
For client referrals. It depends on your firm and your strategy, for sure. In my experience, the more micro targeted events is where we tend to get the most bang for our buck in that perspective. But I have seen firms that have grown based on their like VIP events that they do, and they're big and it's the thing to be at, and their clients bring people to it. So it is a strategy. Like, the big events can be a strategy that works for sure. I haven't personally had success in that. It's been a really big, expensive event for our clients to attend. But we haven't gotten referrals or necessarily anything out of it that would have created that referral. We really had to be clear that our intention there was as a part of their client service experience and not as a growth strategy. So those are really important things to distinguish in here. But There's another firm that I know of, and their events are the thing to be at, and you want to be invited to it. And if the client gets to refer one other person or bring one person with them, like, it's like you want to be that person, and they've done an incredible job growing through those types of client introductions at those events.
Oh, one second.
For the clients, like those ideal client referrals that have maybe expressed interest in helping grow your business, but it's a lot of like verbal affirmations or can I have your business cards, but it never manifests or materializes. What's kind of the next step? Because I don't want to be pushy or ask for that introduction, but the email hasn't come yet. So what is kind of the next action plan look like from there?
So what is for those on virtual, you have a client expressing interest, but have yet to open the door to the referral. So what's that next step? My recommendation there would be a client interview. So go and take them to a coffee or a nice dinner or lunch and tell them like, hey, I just want to take a moment and I would love to ask you some questions about things that I'm doing in the business and what's really adding value to your life. And then you end that meeting, ask them, you go through a series of questions, super cool resource on Limitless for this, by the way, and how to walk through that, but ask them some of those questions. Definitely start with them. Don't start with you, right? Like make sure and value validate in that conversation, because you may uncover that there's this disconnect there that you need to connect first. And if not, then you can really, really start getting into those growth questions. Again, like who are the people that you are really close to that, you know, you get information from, or here are some of the ways that I'm thinking about growing. Like, what do you think about that? Right. And kind of get them invested in that again. Or, hey, I found that other clients really get stuck on how to make those introductions. How do you feel? Do you get stuck on that? Would you like some scripting for that? I've given clients scripts on how to make the introduction. We still get questions from clients on like, hey, I have this person. How should I connect them? What should I say? So they're looking for that. And if it's like, yeah, I want to make that introduction, I get stuck, like, hey, that's totally normal. Like, I have some introduction language. Would that be something that you would like? And it's like, okay. Yeah.
Just speaking of plants as a gift idea, there are the self-watering plants called easyplant.com, the website, and you just water it once a month and it just dispenses the water, whatever the plant needs. So
I would still manage to kill it, I feel certain.
Next question. The scripts and
tying it into the advisory board.
Yeah.
You gave us a tease of it's
three meetings or something, but maybe
I'll sleep for the rest. You explain that?
What's the advisory board? Who's on it? How long? Are there spouses
on it? Often to get together?
Really good question. So these are also, we've done another session. So it is recorded on client advisory boards. We can get all of those details, but I'll give you the high level. It is a certain number of clients. I recommend somewhere between 6 to 8, depending on how many people are on your team and how many people are going to be there. But you want to give voice to everybody in a client advisory board. Do it over a series of 3 meetings. The first meeting is everything about being in service to them, right? What's your client service model? Asking them about it, sharing your prospecting process, asking them about like that. Hey, when you go back and what are the reasons that you said yes to us? Like what was really important in that, right? Like you're asking them just a lot of questions. That next, no, I do it over 3 months. So it's one meeting for 3 months, like one meeting, and we do it spring and fall when we run it. So thinking about when are people busy, vacations, all of that stuff. So I tend to find that March, April, May are good. And if they have kids and if they have spring break, then you really kind of need to push that to late March and maybe early April, May, and early June, and then in the fall. So it's 3 meetings. They're a couple hours each. They are longer meetings. So you're usually asking for like 3 hours for those meetings. So depending on the clients, get entrepreneurs who are doing it, executives of businesses, like we've been good. I tend to run them. The time that I found the best was somewhere between We would start it around 2:30 or 3, which gave them most of their work day, but got them home before bedtime or anything late. And that was always really, really helpful. It was like before they got to us before traffic, left to us after traffic, like all of those experiences. I know there's a digital world and we can get into that. It's in one of those recordings on how you host that without borders or digitally. But series of three meetings, that first one is everything that you're doing in service of them. That second one is things that you're considering to add deeper value to your services and getting their input. And then third one is all about how you're growing. And then it's through that experience, you're creating a community, which is super cool, and the advocacy through the clients, but you're equipping them through them answering questions and feedback on who you are, what you do, and how you do it, because they are answering questions that are talking about the value that you've delivered, and they're getting insights onto why you're delivering those things or possibly why things aren't added. Our clients sometimes have questions on why we don't do things and they don't know about compliance. It comes up often. And so like sometimes like living in that light is really, really, it's helpful. So it's a really great tool if you're ready for that step. I'll tell you, people are like, oh my gosh, what if you have six clients in a room and what if their feedback's negative? And I'm like, what if it is? It's not. We did do one where we intentionally put someone that we thought was maybe a retention risk on the client advisory board. And he certainly had some questions and brought things and you're like, what is this? But other clients shared their experiences or put some things out there and it ended up being so great. And not only that, he became an advocate and became really sticky. Now I wouldn't recommend starting there, by the way. Don't go to like risk, you know, risk retention clients and be like, let's have a conversation. Do you want to try to have that? But you can add COIs to that, right? You can plant a COI in there or have a COI very intentionally there, which is really helpful because they're hearing your client experience on top of being able to add value to your clients in that experience. You can niche them. I did one on just business exits and wanted some insight there on like what we were doing to deliver value, but also then creating and opening those doors. So client advisory boards are really, really powerful as a client referral source, as well as like, honestly, like a loyalty and like them understanding you better and engagement. We've gotten for any of our clients that went on an advisory board, we definitely got a higher level of engagement from them compared to other clients. So super cool strategy. And all the details are, yeah. And all the agendas I've used, invitations I've put out, people are worried like, well, what about one spouse versus the other? Just tell them if I want both of them on the board, by the way, but like, we'll do separate boards. Like we would really love to get your opinion separately. So we would love to have one for the spring and one for the fall. You guys choose which best, unless we feel like one would be better than the other. We'd love to have you in the spring. We'd love to have you in the fall. Does that sound great? And just work it that way.
To separate the husband and the wife, just because one might out better to groups.
Yeah, we've always separated them for a client advisory board purpose, but yeah, it was helpful for sure.
We have another virtual question from Danny Michael. He's asking, is it ideal to ask clients for referrals right after a review meeting when they're really feeling the value?
I would say, yeah. So yes, and it depends, right? So the review meetings are really interesting. It is, so your highest chance of referral for most clients is like during that onboarding year, because there's so much value delivered. It's new, it's refreshing, and all those things. So it is really important when you're thinking of client referrals and you're thinking of campaigns, new client onboarding is a really good time to insert and ask, right? So maybe that 6-month check-in, how are things going? You're feeling really great. And make it a little bit less about like all of the planning in that, like that's where it's really nice to have that check-in for your new client process. Cause it's also a really great way to then go for that ask, because you're not in the midst of doing something like really, really important in their planning where they're thinking deeply about themselves. So when it comes to the client meetings, I say it depends. I know a lot of people are like, add that value and ask, and you should do it every single time. And that strategy does work for some. For me, in my experience of it, it's been if your APR or your annual review or whatever is a huge event, and or they're going through something like really deep, and your focus is all on them. And then at the very end, right, like they're going through a major life event, they're talking about caregiving for their parents, long-term care, whatever it is. And then you're like, and if there's anyone important to you that, you know, I'm like, you're just like, whoa, like that kind of feel. So you really have to be thoughtful about those timeframes. So maybe it comes after you put some things in play right after that and those action steps to be like, hey, we had that meeting. We've accomplished all of these things. Hope you're feeling so much better and or whatever it is. And then you get that and then you put it in. So there's still all that value being added. So when it comes to client meetings, you just want to be thoughtful about what's being addressed in that meeting and when it's time to ask. So if you're in there and you're doing estate administration, probably not like, you know, the like, and you're working through like parents' death and grieving people and all that, like it's maybe not the time to be asking for that referral, right? So you just have to be really, really careful on what's being addressed in there and taking that moment of being in service to them and then asking them to be in service of you. So my thought is with client reviews, I think it needs to be very thoughtful. I personally tend to prefer it not, but I got to tell you, I've run every strategy, literally combed through their LinkedIn, printed the list and highlighted them in their reviews and slid it across the table. I have also put a like list on the table that's like anyone important to you. And it sat in the middle of a table for client reviews for years. That's like, if there's anyone who you start thinking of when we're talking about you today, like just write their name there and we'll talk about it after the meeting. Totally have done all these strategies because honestly, all strategies work. It's just a matter on like, you can't work all of them. And for me, it was a matter of which one do I feel an integrity to? Those were cringe moments for me. I'm like, I'm supposed to be here in service and this is really cringy, but guess what? I knew advisors got three names every single APR that they went to because it just was the way in which they felt like I add all of this value. I do all of that. And they were really clear and they had no bones about it. So take that for what it's worth. I have a little, I guess I would say, bias around how those things show up. But they can work. Yes.
I said invest marketing dollars, I think on one of the things. Mm-hmm.
You said invest marketing dollars is one of the actions. Mm-hmm. And then I think you said client events mm-hmm. or stuff. Is that what it is? Is client events? And then I guess if so, you know, you mentioned there's other firms that you've heard of that do big events and it's and huge, you want to get invited.
Yeah.
And then like when you guys have done them, it's like, it's just a client appreciation event. It's not to get referrals. Mm-hmm. How do you identify what the objective is? And or is the objective, well, if we didn't get any referrals, it was a client event, not a referral event.
We try not to be on the opposite side of that and set the intention on the front end. But like definitely throughout my career, there's been we just hosted the client appreciation event and we said you can invite people and nobody came. And you're like, dang it. Like you feel really bad about that. But like, that was a hopeful strategy, like, right. It wasn't very intentional. And so those that are being really successful in those big events, like their whole intent is it's like this VIP experience. You want to be invited to it. Like, and they're getting people there. So I think it's really a matter of like intention around it. What I don't have, if we're doing a client event and we don't have an intentional ask of them bringing somebody and then having like a level of follow-up and accountability to that, then to me, it's a client service model or client experience. It's not a growth strategy. And it's super, super important to be intentional around that because one is hopeful and one should have a KPI around it so that you recognize if those dollars are being well spent or if you should put those towards another marketing strategy for growth. And then the other ways in which you can invest in marketing for client referrals would be like a level of like video campaign or those additional things that you can do. So it's not just event-driven. Event-driven has shown up pretty powerfully in marketing dollars around client referrals because they oftentimes tend to be local clients or there's just gifting or those types of things, but it can still be like digital where you're like running video campaigns that show up to your clients and there's little like lead bags that they can send out or different things that they could do. So those could be ways in which you can invest those dollars as well.
Do any of y'all have any other ideas you've done that you've seen that have been successful?
I think shred a bit last year, which was nice. I did it after tax season, and a shred event. And I advertised it with what are the things that you want to keep and how long to keep the document. So it was helpful in that way. And then we had a shred truck that showed up for 2 hours, and people would just come by and visit with me, and they'd shred the documents then leave. So it was very non-pressure for me because I'm just a one-man show. So one-woman show.
Is it client referral oriented, or was it client experience oriented?
But I'm, y'all have got me thinking. Last year, it was just a service. I wanted to do it because I actually wanted to shred a lot too. And I figured, and my clients are kind of geeky like me. They're very organized. And I was like, I'm going to do this. It was $500 to rent the truck, 2 hours. I even, you know, had a little sign. And we even did, my assistant wanted to do, we had little cookie bags with a logo on it and gave those away. So it was really more of just a service thing.
Yeah. And that's great. So you can keep that as a client experience, but that doesn't mean you're going to gain client advocacy, right? But if you want to turn that into an experience with more client advocacy on it, then you can be like, hey, and you can extend an invite to one person, have a cute little like invitation that goes to that, that talks a little bit about you, and they can each extend that to one person or something along those lines where it can create those things, or you can have it extend further than that. But the one thing about like limiting those numbers is they have to kind of think about it and be a little bit more intentional on who they're inviting. And they may have to send the message on who you are. So they want to be thoughtful about it. And it's, even if you only get 20% of your client base participating, that's 20% that have just sent it to a very specific person that they were pretty thoughtful about. So you could take that. And when you're like, I enjoyed the experience, it felt natural to me. Now, how do I create that to a growth campaign and not just a client experience campaign?
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to do it again this year, and I'm going to add that component.
Okay. So. Well, we want to see it on community and hear about it. Shred events are always successful, by the way. It's amazing how many people show up to those things. Like it's a great idea.
Anyone else willing to share? Okay. 1 second. We're still in share mode. No other shares.
Betty have like really cool client referral campaigns that they've run.
That's why they're in this session.
That's why you're here. I'll test them all. I've been there. I've done everything. I've door-to-door knocking. Cringy, like go and creep on their LinkedIn and put a highlighted list in front of them. Be like, this person looks like somebody I want to talk to. You want to introduce me? It never lost me clients. And by the way, nobody ever got offended. It was just I was so uncomfortable in it. It just wasn't my strategy, but it worked. It worked for many other advisors. So yeah.
When you say campaign, I just think of like email campaign. So, mm-hmm. So when you said create referral campaigns around client and advocates, those who referred, those who have never referred, you're saying take all of your clients, all your COIs, and then score them kind of the same way that we did the 10. And you're not going to communicate with them all the same way. Correct. Someone that's referred, if you're going to have an email campaign, or like, what would you do? I don't know. Like, so if you've referred to me before, am I going to have like a 6-month email campaign or something where maybe I send you 3 emails or something? Or?
Yeah, maybe depending on where you're at in the campaign. But listen, like if you don't have any sort of client referral program going on, or you haven't identified who your advocates are, then you're most likely treating those that advocate for you the exact same as those that don't. So it's a level of identifying that. I mean, like, okay, lesson number one, those that have referred more than one, I should 100% do something outside of just serving them through our business model, right? Like, and for those, I'm like, let's take them to lunch. Like, let's have a dinner. Let's do something really cool for them. Eventually, we used to run like an inner circle of those that referred. Compliance may or may not like that, by the way, depending on where you're at. But if you did make that referral, we had an inner circle, and we did an inner circle event that was something associated with if you made at least one referral in that last 12 months, those types of things. So those are things where in which and when they're tagged, you can determine, is it one-to-one? Is it a mini community type of thing, or is it an email campaign or something along those lines? So you start identifying those pieces. But a big piece of it, of this, is just recognizing the fact that you're probably, all things are created equal, that you're probably not paying attention to where your advocates lie. And then the other piece would be like moving them through that funnel on, they're just never going to refer, or they're willing to refer, they just don't know how. So we need to get them to learn how to know how. And if they do and they refer one, that's great. Are they willing to do more than that? And then we get them through that funnel.
So when you were talking about referral campaigns, I have one pop in my head. I'm getting a little older, so it takes time to come back. But we used to take a bunch of COIs and a lot of CPAs up to some friends' land and take them on guided bow hunting trips, quad riding, and then have two or three asset protection attorneys present law changes, things with the business owners that we were working with that would leave them some kind of actionable items to kind of take back. So we'd run those, I think, quarterly or a couple times a year, whatever the hunting season was in.
I love it. I know a guy that fully built his entire practice through like shooting events, in which he creates those events and clients bring people to it. COIs bring people to it. So the cool thing is if you have that type of like affinity or niche or something built in, you can get really cool with like, they're already hanging in certain places. And so you know what you can bring in, right? So things that we're doing with entrepreneurs, those executive dinners where we're bringing in like, hey, just want to let you know, there will be no selling, nothing like that. We're going to bring in a really killer corporate attorney and a CPA for you to ask your questions to at no charge to you. Like you can get that because let's be clear, most of them are not getting tax planning. They're getting tax compliance and most of them are not preparing for certain things. So for them to have that type of advice over a dinner where we can just talk about things and keep that safe. But, and hey, if you want to bring one of your entrepreneurial buddies, like totally, we're looking to fill 10 seats. We want to take 5 with clients and then offer that extension to somebody really important to you. And the big thing there is you're not going to be sold and all of the, CPAs or attorneys. And if you want to make that a COI event, my favorite thing to make those super accountable is whoever we all agree to bring like 3 or 4 people. Right? Dinner, let's call it dinner 12. If there's 3 of us, whoever does not bring somebody has to pay for the entire dinner. And so it's one of those things where it's like trying to get COIs like accountable to whatever we're doing. And if anyone brings more than 3, depending on how the list can fill, then they don't have to pay for it. And it's split between the other 2. So there's this little bit of like, we're all there to get people to the table. But the executive dinners, hunting or affinity groups like are great. That's where client referrals, because you're niching, it gets you into a place of building client referral campaigns in an even a better way, because you know that they're most likely in the pool of clients that you're wanting to serve.
We, I think, need to wrap up, right? Yes. Okay. Just 2 points I wanted to make that we didn't have time to discuss is, one, to make sure you are tracking all of your referrals and prospects, where they're coming from. The tracking is so important. And then also for those of you who have teams, making sure this referral process is shared amongst the team, believed by the team, everyone is living and breathing by this referral. Whatever your referral process is, it should be within the entire firm, not just you.